Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
We're going to continue in our series on discipleship, and we've kind of been taking 3 weeks to talk about the Holy Spirit, because as we talk about discipleship, part of what we talk about with discipleship has to be an interaction of the disciple, of the Holy Spirit into the disciples' lives, because we can't be transformed without God's Holy Spirit doing that. So we can't go from death to life without the sacrifice of Jesus, but then we can't ever be transformed to the point where other people see that without the Holy Spirit working in us and us doing that. And so there has to be an intersection where God's Holy Spirit transforms who we are. In fact, we're going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 today, but Paul talks about that. Not being conformed to the obvious things of the world, but to be transformed, like God transformed me. He talks about it in Galatians. John talks about it. Jesus talks about it with his disciples, and that's what we're going to read today again. This will be the third week in a row we've read this section of Scripture, but that's okay. Hopefully, you guys read the Bible over and over and over in your lives, and don't just read it through once and put it on a shelf, right? Because it is life. God didn't speak once and it was done. He gives us life for our entire lives. And that's why we call it the living word of God. So if you guys don't mind opening up to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to be at the very last two verses of 15 and then read the first 15 verses of chapter 16. So John 15, 26 is where we'll start. And while you guys flip there, John 15, 26. I did student ministry for a long time, and I always bought them Bibles, like I guess like pew Bibles like you'd have in some Anglican churches that I've worked in my life or other churches, and I could just tell them the page number. You guys don't get that benefit. But John 15, starting in verse 26, and I'm going to just remind everybody that if you are using YouVersion as the way in which you read the Bible this morning, you can go to the YouVersion events, which is under the little More tab in that application. And if you do that, you can search for Mosaic Church easily. And all the texts, and there aren't really many sermon notes this week because I left it for you. But all the texts that we're going to be reading through, which will be about 8 today, are all there listed for you. So you don't have to keep flipping your Bible if you want to do that. But let's start out with prayer. God, we're thankful for the way in which you lead us and you move our hearts. We're thankful for the way that you have intersected with our lives and have changed us regardless of our past. You've changed us, and so, God, we're thankful. We're thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us, that convicts us, that reveals you, that glorifies you. As you, through your Spirit, work in our lives, may that be the outcome, that what happens through our lives glorifies you, reveals you, shows your power to the world. Would you use us this morning? We pray, God. We're thankful for the way in which you have and will continue to use Donna. And we pray as she moves forward with this publication, with this book that tells this remarkable story of how you've worked in her life. God, we pray that through your Holy Spirit also reveals you, reveals your power, reveals the character of who you are. We thank you for all this. Be with us this morning. Let your will be done in our worship this morning. Amen. So we're John 15, and you guys already turned there, and I haven't yet. But I have it marked, so I got a leg up on you guys. John 15, starting in verse 26. The NIV version says this: "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I just want to take a moment there to point out, God promises the Holy Spirit will testify, but he didn't leave it all up to the Holy Spirit. And I had a couple of conversations this week, truthfully this week, this is not made up. I had a couple of conversations this week, and I don't know that I've pointed it back to this until just now, but they've all revolved around just waiting on the Holy Spirit. And I believe that. I believe that if we wait, God will reveal himself and will show us. But God also says, you know, it's not all about the Holy Spirit. He said, and you also must testify, for you have been with me. And there's a mandate that there's something for us to do. And some of that's with our lives for sure, and some of that's with our words. And so I just wanted to take a moment that God will lead us and God will direct us. And we see that in Paul's life. We brought it up 2 weeks ago. Like, he was heading to a place, and the Spirit of God, in a dream, the message, for whatever, let's go. Paul wasn't waiting on the Holy Spirit. He was going, but he was being obedient to the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit told him to stop, he stopped. But he was just going to keep putting one foot in front of forward, in front of the other, until God told him to stop and go over here. And so I think it's important. Sometimes I think we can use waiting on God as a cop out for not doing anything, truthfully. And so I think there is a waiting on God that we must do, but I also think there is a doing. And I think that God is faithful to direct us as we're continue about his will. Someone was asking me this week, well, I'm just going to wait on God because I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this. And I'm like, do you really think the devil led you to this place where you're helping people? let's just be about it until God tells us not to be about it. And so I think that's important to remember. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me where you are going. Grab my water and lost my place. That's not the word. That's me telling you. Okay, end of verse 5. None of you ask me where you're going. Rather, you are filled with grief because I said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe me. About righteousness, and just take that as a note. You can write it there in your Bible. You can remember it if you have a good memory. I always think I have a good memory, and then I forget. Jesus says about sin, because they did not believe me. Anytime that we're in unbelief about anything that Jesus told us, according to what Jesus says, that's sin. Luckily, we have grace in that. But that doesn't get us out of the responsibility to not do that. I think that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin, because the people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I think that I'm going to stop a few times, obviously. But I think that in the church, we get to arguing about what's right and what's wrong. And Paul says it in Philippians. He says, about those things which we don't agree, that too God will reveal to us. And I think he probably getting this from Jesus, because Jesus says it right here in John. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. You want to know what's true? Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and be obedient to that. And I think that obedience is key, because sometimes I don't want it to be true, so I don't obey. Because I want it to be the way I thought it would be, or the way I rationalized it to be. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. As we've been spending a couple weeks talking about the Holy Spirit, we've talked about a handful of things, and I wanted to, by way of recapping, because if some of you guys go back and listen to the podcast week after week to remind you of what we've talked about, this past week's wasn't on there because it didn't get recorded. And so, which is okay. It was obviously, you know, it's not what was meant to be. But I wanted to recap in case you wanted a little bit. We've talked about that the Holy Spirit is with us and in us to glorify the Father and to reveal the Father. And in doing that, he uses power to do that. And we talked about that. We talked about the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit in moving. It convicts the hearts of men. That's a powerful thing. If any of you have prayed for a family member or friend to come to know the saving relationship of Jesus, but deep down you thought, there's no way, this person's too far gone, there is Holy Spirit power to do that. And that takes power. Sometimes we think of the power of the Holy Spirit, we only think of the miraculous acts that we see, like the supernatural kind of things that we see in Acts. And I believe that that's part of it too. We believe that God can heal supernaturally. In fact, some of you guys have been joining me in praying for my aunt who had some pretty severe ovarian cancer, and it was kind of taking over. And you guys have joined me in prayer, and I got a text message from my mom this week that all her markers are as if she was a normal person and there was no cancer to be found. Amen. And so if you don't believe that God has power to heal, I would invite you to just ask him to show you if that's right or wrong, because he is a spirit of truth and he will. And I'd invite you to ask him, and if he can't heal, he'll reveal that to me too, because as it is now, I believe that. But if it's wrong, I don't want to. But I don't believe it's wrong because we see that happening through Acts and throughout Jesus' ministry, and I don't think it stopped at the end of that. So we talked about how that power does that. But the power is not always just for the things that I've seen growing up in a charismatic church, which I could tell you, fill a book of crazy stories. It's just like, I don't know if that was real or not. Like maybe people, I don't know. Not that God can't work that way. And so I was always trying to be sensitive. What's real? What's not? And I think that the Holy Spirit will lead us in that. Like, is this true? Is it not? But I think that God can still work that way and still does. And so as a church, if you're ever curious, like we always kind of pray for God to heal people or to reveal himself or whatever, for reconciliation. There's a prayer that some of you guys have been joining with in prayer for reconciliation. We're going to pray that God's Holy Spirit does that. But if you know the situation, you know what I'm referring to. But it's not all just that. It's drawing the hearts of men. It's doing all this. So we believe in the power of God to do that. And so if you here need a healing from God, we'd love to pray for you. I mean, we don't choose who God does and doesn't heal. And it's not really for your comfort or for your longevity, because we have security in the eternity with Christ. So if he didn't heal my aunt, she, you know, Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so if she were to die, you know, God gets glory in that. But if he heals her, he gets glory in that. And so we talked about how the purpose of the Holy Spirit and however he chooses to work is for his glory. But we will pray for your healing. And if God wants to glorify himself through that, we believe and celebrate with you that would happen. And so we talked about that. We talked about that salvation is by the grace of Jesus. The salvation is by the grace of Jesus through our faith. But we also know that's proven by our works. That people can know that we love the Father and obey the Father if there's fruit and there's work. So there's an outworking in that. There's not a striving to get that from God. Like, God, I feel bad about what I did, so now I'm going to work real hard to help to make you forgive me. That's kind of where we're going a little bit this morning, is to kind of talk about that. But we have already a little bit talked about that, and that's not the case. Like, Jesus doesn't do that. In fact, I had a conversation with the guys. I was driving home from Atlanta yesterday, and he was telling a story of a young man who went to a church, And the same week he went to that church because he wasn't sure where he should go to church. And he went to that church and he lost his job that week. And he said, well, I must not have supposed to go in that church because I lost my job. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that you can't do anything for God's blessing. But there is an outworking when you have that of what you do. And that's, you know, kind of Jesus is alluding to it, to the disciples all throughout his ministry. But even here, he's like, you have to test, like there's something you have to do to show. It's not for your salvation, but it is for the world. It is for me to be able to reveal my glory. It is, it is to get you in on the game, basically. You can get into heaven because salvation is by grace through your faith, and you have faith in that. But if it's not working itself out in your life, you have missed out on what God had for you. And so that is where the Holy Spirit in power comes. We can read the Bible and have all the knowledge of the Bible and be able to parse every Greek or Hebrew word and be able to tell you all the correct theology, Christology, ecclesiology of the Bible. But if you can't live it out, then what's it worth? In fact, Paul had some words to say to that in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm not going to read it. You guys have been to weddings, you've heard it. And it talks about all this stuff with love and what the manifestation of God in our life is, but Paul says, if I can have all the knowledge and I can speak in all the tongues of angels and I can do all this great thing, but I don't have love, if it's not manifesting itself out in my life, then I'm nothing. And that's what, we can have the cure for cancer. You can read all the books in the world and know that, but if you don't live it out, it never helps anybody. And that's the call of the disciple, okay? That's why we're talking about discipleship, because the call of the disciple is to let that be lived out in your life so that it draws other, so that through you, God will draw more people to himself and you can help them grow up into maturity so where they can make a disciple. Remember the question I asked you guys at the beginning of it? Can we be a disciple if we never make a disciple? It's a question to wrestle with. I don't think you can. But that's the recap. So we talked about how that God was in us and that God was with us. And this week, what I want you to hear and what I want you to understand is that God is for us. In fact, the word that my translation use, the NIV uses, the Greek word is a word, a lot of people say paraclete. Okay, you may have heard that at some point. If you go to a Greek class in seminary, they're going to say parakletos. But it's this Greek word that Jesus uses when he talks about the Holy Spirit. And the reason we have translations that have advocate, we have translations that have counselor, we have translations that have comforter. You may have a completely different one. I think a couple weeks ago someone said their translation had helper. And the reason is because there's not a direct correlation between the Greek word and the English word. But in this one, I like advocate because that is, and we're going to read some scripture this morning to kind of build that case, because that is what the Holy Spirit is doing on our behalf with the Father. He's advocating for us. And if you've ever been, I know we do have someone in our church, I don't see him in here, I think they're back with the kids this morning, but if you've ever been a guardian ad litem or had to deal with that, that's a person who's advocating on behalf of a child to the court system. They're standing with, they're for the child. They're telling them, like, this is the right thing or this is the wrong thing, in my opinion, because this is what's best for the child. But an advocate is someone who's there for you, who's doing work on your behalf. The Webster's Dictionary, one of their definitions, they had a couple different ones, but a person who pleads on someone else's behalf was an advocate. And many times we'll read different scriptures in the Bible when it talks about the Holy Spirit advocating on behalf and think, yep, nothing can stand against me because God is for me. And that's not wrong. That's true. But it's so much more than that. Nothing formed against can stand because God is with us. And that God is in us, and the power of God is working through us. But what I want you to understand is God is also for you, for us. And that's true when you've done the worst thing you've ever done in your life. God is still for you. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit who's advocating on our behalf. Because when we're in Christ, and this comes back to that salvation piece that we can't do anything to gain, that grace piece, but when we're in Christ, no matter how dark it gets, the advocate's saying that's a good person. Jesus has covered it. He's a good person, not because they're good, but because Christ is in them and with them. And because of that, I'm going to be for them. So the Holy Spirit is for us. So I'm going to read some scriptures this morning. Truthfully, I could end now because that's all I got. And that's enough. But I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to kind of reveal this. And so this is where, if you are using the YouVersion app, it would be helpful. If not, you can flip. If you're fast, if I go ahead of you, you can just jot them down, or you can ask me afterwards, and I'll tell you what they were. Bill, you don't have any of them in the computer until the last one, okay? And I'll let you know. That's the First John one. So we're going to start in the Old Testament in Isaiah 51. And this is with the English Standard Version, just so you guys know. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words from the Lord. I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea, that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth and saying to Zion, you are my people. Wake yourself up. Wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has born, and there is none to take her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. These two things have happened to you, and who will console you? Devastation and destruction, famine and sword? Who will comfort you? Your sons fainted. They lie at the head of every street like an antelope in the net, and they are full of the wrath of the Lord's rebuke. Therefore, all who hear this, you who are afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine, thus says the Lord your God pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath you shall drink no more. And if you know the history of this people at this time, they weren't doing good. So God's not saying this because you've been such a good people, I'm going to do this. God is speaking to them his promise through Abraham that you're my people. And he says it through Moses again. They'll be my God. They'll be my people, and I'll be their God, and I'll be with them, and I'll be for them. Because he's saying earlier, like, there's no way out. Who's going to help you? Devastation and destruction? But then he says, the Lord your God, the Lord causes, thus says the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I've taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of wrath, you shall drink no more. This was a word that the prophet Isaiah was speaking from God to the Israelites before they ever changed what they did. He was advocating for them. And then we can flip over to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 5. And Paul's writing this great kind of work of theology out for the Romans. And what he says in chapter 5, verse 10, he says this, for while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, should we be saved through his life? For while we were enemies of God, God was for us. And I heard a lot over the last 3 days about this, about how and it just so happened that this was the text that we were coming to this week anyway, that the Holy Spirit was in us, with us, and then this week was always going to be the Holy Spirit was for us. In the last few days, I've spent time in a conference hearing people say, if we're going to make disciples, we have to help them understand their identity in Christ. Because it's not because of things they do that lead this to their identity. But if they know their identity, then it should lead them to want to be these people. So that is, these are the words that Paul wrote, that while we were still enemies of God, we were reconciled to him. God is for you. Even when you're still an enemy of God, he's for you. Romans 8:34, just a couple pages over, Paul writes this: who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. There is no condemnation, as it says, because Jesus is interceding on our behalf. He's for us. And that's good news. That is great news. But that's news that we shouldn't keep to ourselves in parts and be able to say, I've got the knowledge, I know this. It's got to work itself out in our life, because if it doesn't, what good is it? We have to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, to allow this to work out in our lives. I said I was going to read it. I meant to read it earlier, but since we're in Romans, I'll just read it now. But I don't have it in my notes, so I'm going to flip to Romans myself. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I could probably recite it from memory, but to make sure I don't jack a word out of context, I'm not going to. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy. There it is again. The view of God's mercy, because God's already been merciful to you. Would you do this? To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know what the will of God is? Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your mind to the mind of Christ. And what I can promise you is the mind of Christ isn't just going to sit on the mountain. There was some teaching that Jesus did for sure, but there was lots of outworking of that love of Christ that he did. And if we as a church aren't working that out in our daily lives, if we aren't loving people and showing that, if we just want to talk about how we know that this is true, but that grace is true, but we don't ever show grace, then I already forgot what I said, kind of. I know you didn't mean that literally, but in my brain, I try to think, man, I'll say it again. So we have to be a people who live this out, if it's ever going to make sense to anybody who doesn't believe. But God in his graciousness, it doesn't have to be us, because God's going to do his work. But what I pray is that it is us. I pray that God uses us. I pray that God uses me. I don't want him to pass me by and me die with all this knowledge in my head and get into heaven and never have been able to experience his kingdom here on earth. Hebrews 7:25. The writer of Hebrews had a lot to say about this, but I just pulled out two verses. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Are you getting a sense of why I like the word advocate here? There's lots of scripture that talks about God being for us. I don't think any of them are wrong, because we have spent the last 2 weeks talking about how God is also in us and with us. He comforts us. If you've ever spent time mourning, you know the comfort of God is there. You know the help of God through the Holy Spirit is there for you. But I like advocate, because God's sitting there looking at all the stuff you've done in front of the judge and said, but he's a good guy. And that's amazing, and that's good news, and there, a lot of people need to hear that. And not to plug, we're not about church growth. In fact, hopefully by the end of this, we'll know that we're about making disciples and we want to do that. And so hopefully they'll hear it from your life. But what I can tell you is if you bring people here on Sunday morning, they're going to hear that as well. But hopefully that's not the first time. If they're friends of yours, they've heard that. Okay? More on that to come. We flip over a couple chapters later in Hebrews 9:24. And the writer of Hebrews says this, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of a true one. He entered heaven itself and now to appear for us in God's presence through the outworking of the Holy Spirit, we can know that God is for us, that Jesus is standing at the right hand of God, advocating on our behalf." And then we're going to finish here in 1 John 2. And I'm going to read a little bit further. And Bill, this is the one that you have back there. But 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read the first six verses. We could read the whole chapter for all I'm concerned, but we're going to read the first six verses. And so John's writing, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. Our works aren't the reason we're saved, it's the work of Jesus, and that's why he's before the Father advocating for us." However, reading the words that John is writing through the prompting of the Spirit, if we say that we love God and we don't do what he says, we're liars. So there is an action to that. "But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived." James brought this verse up the other night as we're in a hotel room. How can we ever do that? Live as Jesus lived. And I'm here to tell you, you can't. But we have grace, and we can when the Holy Spirit transforms us. But if we just want to get knowledge, puff it up in our brain, tell everybody what they know and don't know, and don't ever live it out, then we aren't living as Jesus lived. And that verse scares me, because I know a lot of days I don't live as Jesus lived. But the beautiful thing is that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, is for us. And so on those days when I blow it and don't live as Jesus lived, I got someone advocating for me on behalf of God. That doesn't mean I don't try, but it does mean that when I blow it, and we're all going to, Romans says we're all going to sin, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all will continue to sin, and Jesus died for all of our sins, the ones we've done and the ones we will do. And he's still there advocating on behalf of us. But what I want to tell you is that God is for us. And so we don't have to live in shame and heartbreak and constantly try to gain what Jesus already did. But what we can do is live in freedom. Galatians 5, I'll bring it up again, is for freedom that we have been set free. And because we now have that freedom, we can live and we can do and we can act and we can allow the Holy Spirit to transform us so that we can, through his power, reveal the Father through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'm convinced that there's a lot of Christians that I've known in my life who have salvation. They believe in God. They kind of fulfill that requirement that is by their faith, or it's by grace through their faith that they are saved, and it stops there for them. And I think there's a ton of life they're missing out on, because they want to sit in Bible studies all day long and talk about what they know and not get out there and love people. And that's what the Holy Spirit is prompting. And he brings people to our lives, and he brings situations and for an opportunity to reveal the glory of God that we miss. And God will reveal his glory. He's God. I want to have a part of that, truthfully. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we talk about discipleship, those two can't be removed, because it's only by the Holy Spirit, the advocate that was left. As Jesus went forward, he said, "I'm sending you another advocate," because he's advocating for us. He was here advocating on our behalf, and he took the ultimate price And then he said, I've given you this comforter, this advocate, this person who's going to be in you, and he's going to be with you, but he's also going to be for you. And I think that there was a reason for that, and it wasn't just for our personal good, but for the good of the entire world. And God can now use us like he used Paul and like he used John. These guys didn't want to just sit down and say, hey, I got all this knowledge. They were out there, and they were loving people, and they were sharing it. But it wasn't for their, it wasn't so they could have a private jet. It wasn't so they could have a big church and a big offering basket and whatever. It was so they could reveal the glory of God. And so as we talk and hear and read about Jesus being for us, it's the perfect segue to communion. Because we all know, well, if you're like me, and I don't, you may be today thinking that you have reached perfection. But if you're like me, I know I haven't. But I have one who's standing before the Father advocating on my behalf. And that's what this meal represents. It represents the sacrifice of Jesus that took on what I couldn't take on so that I could gain what I don't deserve. And we can remember that every week. And so we're going to. So we're going to pray in a few minutes. But part of the way that we can show love to people is through change for a dollar. And you guys are faithful about putting that dollar in every week. What I want to advocate for on behalf of people in Easley who may need that is that you be noticing where there is that need and bring that to me so that we can use that to help people, that we can use that for what it's intended and not just so it sits there, but that it can get out there. So be noticing, because if you see that need, we do have tangible evidence that God loves people, because you've given a buck that you didn't need, and then God can use that to change someone's life. And so I'm asking you guys to be noticing along with me where we can be using that for each week. And so that's a way that we're going to continue to worship God, is by doing that, and we're going to stand and sing. And if you have a need for healing this morning, I'd be happy to pray for it. I'm not televangelist promising you if you put so much in the change for dollar bucket, you will be healed. I have no clue how God will reveal that. He may not. But what I do know is our hope doesn't lie in this world, which is broken and imperfect, but it is perfect. And so that it will be made perfect one day. And so even in our brokenness that won't ever be restored while we're here, one day it will be. But I'll be happy. It's scriptural, and we'll pray for your healing if you're in need of that. I just want to give space for that each week, because I may not mention that enough. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue as we remember the fact that we have an advocate who stood before us, who offered us something we didn't deserve, and something we can't ever pay for. Let's pray. God, your grace is more than sufficient for me. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that we walk as a post-resurrection people who now have this advocate who stands before the Father. We're thankful for that gift. We're thankful that through the Holy Spirit, you have power to reveal the character of God. You have power, or we have power through the Holy Spirit to reveal the glory, to show glory to God through what you do. That there's power for healing, there's power for salvation, which is the ultimate healing. And God, we're thankful for that. And we just pray that you would allow us to be a group of people who love each other, and we can't love each other if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Because we bug each other half the time. And we can't look past that. But your word says that you have a spirit of reconciliation, that you're a God of reconciliation. And because of that, we can love each other. That you can reconcile people's hearts to each other, but you also reconcile them to you. And so, God, this morning we pray for anyone in the room who may not yet know you, who needs to know that reconciliation power of your Spirit, that they would. We pray, God, if anyone needs healing this morning, would you glorify yourself through that? Would you glorify yourself through the way that we live? Would you transform us to be a people who reveal the character and the nature, the glory of God? God, thank you for this meal that we're about to take together as we remember a sacrifice that we could never make to attain a gift that we don't deserve. And we can remember that. The fact that you're advocating before the Father on our behalf, even when we're blowing it. God, let us always be thankful for that. May that never get old or common. May it always blow our minds that you're willing to do that. We're thankful, God, and we pray that your Spirit rests in this place, that you move us, and that we are sensitive to where you are moving us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.